Good afternoon, and I would like to welcome each of you to this Saturday afternoon edition of Words from the Word of God. I would like to first apologize for the time that has elapsed between broadcast. I believe it's been about 6 days that we've been able to join with you and share a word from the Word of God. I have experienced some pretty severe setbacks with my health, and we've had to deal with that. That is the reason for this many days between broadcasts. So I would ask you to continue to pray for us as we endeavor to continue to serve the Lord in this ministry and continue by His will and by His sustaining grace to continue to share a word from the Word of God with you. As we open up today, I want to say that we are continuing our journey. If you have been following with us, you know that we are taking a journey through the Word of God and see how it establishes the countless facts, the countless reasons why Jesus Christ our Lord is the only way that any of us could ever come unto the Father. He is the only way by His sacrifice and His precious blood that we could ever, He is the only way that we can ever attain salvation, forgiveness, and redemption. It is only by His finished work, the work of God's redemptive plan for you and I, the undeserving, at Calvary's cross, when He said it is finished, it was finished. He finished that work of redemption by dying in our place. Jesus Christ is the only way. But as we have journeyed through the Word of God, we have seen that the Word of God, as is revealed to us, some of the many reasons why Jesus is the only way. The first one was God's grace. Grace is defined as God's unmerited favor on the undeserving. God's unmerited favor on the undeserving. In that message, we cited the Apostle Paul as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit writing to the church in Ephesus, where he stated there in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, he said, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." My friends, there is nothing that you and I could ever do to earn, to purchase, to make our way presentable are acceptable enough to God the Father to merit such wonderful favor from Him. It is a free gift. The Apostle Paul also wrote in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, he said, "For the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared unto all men." Hey, I tell you, Jesus Christ is the free gift of God to all men. Nobody is restricted, and that is the free gift of His grace, His unmerited favor to you and I, who are so undeserving. Not only so, but as we continued our study in Scripture and our journey through the Word of God, we also found that the only reason that Jesus is the only way is because of His divinity, that He is divine. He is God. We read there in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, where He said, "Baptizing them in the name," singular, "the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." In that message, we saw that Scripture established His position and person as the second person of the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity, the three in one. Not only that, but we saw the Scripture also confirmed that He was the eternal Son of God, that He has no beginning and no ending. Not only that, but Scripture also confirmed that He is indwelled with all power, creative power, and sustaining power and authority. He carries all the power and the authority of the triune Godhead. He is the Son of God, God the Son, the second person of the Godhead. Not only that, but today as we enter into our journey today, we will see the Word of God reveals to us the most key reason to me And I know it's the most important reason why Jesus Christ is the only way, and that is because of his incarnation. Now, when I mention the word incarnation, I know many eyebrows of people in the world, the scientists and the scholars, they automatically jump to the defense and say, this is not true. Incarnation speaks of Jesus Christ becoming flesh, taking upon himself the form of a man and dwelling among us, the Son of God, God the Son, indwelling, taking upon himself the form of a man, that he might live a life and be our example, that he might die on Calvary's cross. He had to become human, but you must understand, he was all man and he was all God. When did this incarnation take place? When did this incarnation take place? We must look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, that speaks of Christ's humanity. Unto us a son is given, that speaks of his divinity. Not only was he a human child, but he was a God child. He was all God and all man. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Listen closely. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This speaks of his future reign and his millennial kingdom. In verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Give me a second to turn there. Matthew chapter 1. I'll try not to keep you too long today. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah that we just read. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Again, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy we just read from the prophet Isaiah. This is Matthew writing. He says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And listen now, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, what we just read in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, a prophecy that was given over some 700 years before the birth of Christ. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth the firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. God the Son, the second person of the triune Godhead, became flesh and dwelt among us. John writes in his gospel, John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made, anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, listen now, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. On down in verse 14 of John chapter 1, John says, and as he writes, he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then we see over in verse 15 of John chapter 1, we see the testimony of John the Baptist. This is a witness of who the Word was. You see, John called Jesus, gave him the title of the Word, which in the Greek is logos, which is defined as a thought or concept, the expression or utterance of that thought. As a designation of Christ, this is well fitting because in him are embodied all the treasures of divine wisdom, the collective thought of God the Father. He is from eternity, but especially in his incarnation is what we're speaking of today. And in him taking on himself the form of a man, he is the utterance or expression of the person and thought of deity. He is divine. He is all man and he is all God. In his being, in his person, in his work, deity, the God is told out. The triune Godhead is told out. If you will give me a minute, I want to turn to the book of Colossians right here, just so there's no mistaking who Christ was and the power that he had as all man and all God. The Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, he said, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Philippians, and we'll get back to John chapter 1 in a minute, but I want to look at a few scriptures and testimony of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. He said, let this mind which be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in this fashion as a man, he humbled himself. God the Son, the eternal Son of God, humbled himself for you and I and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, my friends, we just cannot reveal his person as manifested to us in the flesh without revealing his purpose, because there was a purpose for his coming. John writes in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But we must see that Jesus Christ manifested himself in the flesh as God. He was all God and all man. Not only so, but I want to look at the book of Hebrews for just a second, and we'll close here in just a second. But I want to look at Hebrews chapter 2 for just a minute this morning or this afternoon. Give me a second to turn over there. Hebrews chapter 2, there we'll be reading verses 9 down through verse 18. This describes who he is, and his person is manifested unto mankind. And not only that, but this reveals his purpose greatly. But we see Jesus, this is verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 2, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, did you hear that? By the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. Speaking of those that are in the Lord Jesus Christ, accept him as their Savior, they are set apart for God, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Listen to verse 14 here. For as much then as we, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that he through death might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took on him the nature of, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him, listen, the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made in the likeness unto his brethren, speaking of being made in the likeness of man, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them to that are tempted. My friends, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, humbled himself, took upon himself the form of a man, took upon himself human flesh, bone and blood. Consider this, he had to take that form of a man, to take on this old frail body, because as God, the Son of God, he could not die on Calvary. Had he not come in his incarnation, you and I would be eternally lost. Jesus Christ loved you enough. God loved us enough through his grace to send his Son to die on Calvary's cross. He had to take upon him the form of a servant, the form of man, that he might shed every drop of his precious blood that was in his body there on Calvary's cross to pay mine and your sin debt in full. Today we ought to praise God. The Word of God has not only revealed to us that he's the only way because of God's grace, that he's the only way because of his divinity, that he in fact is God the Son, the eternal Son of God with all power and authority. But today the Word of God has revealed to us his incarnation, that he took upon himself flesh and bone and dwelt among us as truly all God and all man. But he did it for one purpose, and that was for you and for me, that he might finish the redemptive work of God the Father, which he sent him to do, and that was to die on Calvary's cross, to be buried, and to be resurrected again. And might I say, his resurrection proves to all the doubters in the world, those that have raised an eyebrow at this message today, that he is in fact God the Son, because he was resurrected and he ascended back into the Father, back to the Father in heaven. He is seated there at the right hand of the Father to ever intercede for you and I. Not only that, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, paid every sin debt that we owed. He paid our price. And he is ascended into heaven for us. My friends, if you don't know him today, I invite you. Accept Jesus Christ and invite him into your hearts and your lives today. I just pray that this message has been a blessing to your heart. I'm sorry for keeping you so long. I was trying to cut the time down, but we need to say what needs to be said by the Lord. We need to let him speak, and I pray that his word is spoken into your heart today. I pray that you would have a great rest of your weekend, and I look so forward to the next time that we can share in a word from the Word of God.